There's been so many moving parts, but man, we've had some great stuff. Congratulations to our new sister in Christ, Ashley. Let's give her just a round of applause. Definitely welcome her into the kingdom this morning, amen. It's such an amazing day, and thank you so much. Was it Risa or Teresa? Thank you so much for sharing your story. Man, that is so incredible. I'm glad that you've been a beneficiary, and I'm so glad that God's moved in a powerful way, amen. Can I get the PowerPoint up? My sound crew guys, man, it's been a wild morning. What I've learned so far is I desperately need to switch from PowerPoint to Keynote because formatting gets all kinds of messed up, amen. But I'm going to say a prayer for us, and then we will dig in. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we desperately need to be in your presence, God. We need you so, so much. I thank you for how the Spirit is moving. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. And I pray that you can open our hearts this morning as your word reaches out and touches our hearts. Lord, I pray that you remove me out of the way so that just you can speak, Father. Lord, I love you. I thank you. And I pray all this in your son's name. Amen. All right. So this week, the title for the sermon is I Do, You Help, We Talk, okay? And last week, AB talked about the I do, you watch, and we talk. So we're in week two of a five-week series where we're talking about spiritual development. And how do we take it to the next level spiritually? How do we allow God to work and to move into our lives? But our goal for this series, just so you guys know, is for us to learn how to do each of these phases in our own personal walk with God. You know, we're going to get to a place where we're helping each other out, but before I help AB to do and to watch, I need to learn how to do that with God first myself, amen? So that's kind of the goal for what we're doing here. But again, this is a process. This isn't a boom, like, you accomplish all five of these steps all in 1 week. This isn't how this works. It's a process. There is no easy button to this. You know, you guys remember the Staples commercial, that was easy, and like something amazing happens. That's not how Christian development is. It takes time, and that's okay. That is perfectly fine. If you are in step one, if you're still getting used to watching Jesus and observing what he does and how he operates, that's totally fine. That's okay. But eventually, God is going to call you into step two, the I do, and the I being Jesus, which AB talked about last week. You, that is you, help in your relationship with God, and then we talk, and the we being you and God. So that's our approach, just so you guys know. And ultimately, we want God to be the one who changes us, which is what I love. It's not us changing each other, it's us teaching each other how to let God move in power in our lives. You know, God does want us to help. Once we observe what he does, He wants us to help. That when we interact with Jesus, we should not be the same from week to week. And that's introduced into this helping process. And we're going to look at that today, amen? But we're going to answer some questions either today, but also throughout the next 4 weeks is, you know, what does this process look like? You know, the five steps that we mentioned before, what does that look like with our relationship with God? You know, what does help look like? What does that even mean? When God says help, when he invites us to help, what does that mean? What does helping do for my relationship with God? Because it does do something to us, right? What does it do? And then how may this be different for what I'm currently doing right now? So I want to answer some of the questions. But today, we're going to talk about help. So if you would turn over to Mark chapter 8. Sorry, I meant to tell you that earlier. If you don't have your Bibles, I'm going to have the scriptures here on the screen. But we're going to start by hitting the I do part. Going to hit on that a little bit, not too in-depth, because AB did a great job with that last week. And then we're going to talk about the you help, what is that? And then the we talk, what is that as well? Okay, so Mark chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, during those days, another large crowd gathered, Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and I have nothing to eat. There are 4,000 people at this time following Jesus. That's why he's saying this. He says, I have compassion on these people. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Well, how many loaves do you have? Jesus asked them. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and what? He gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also. And again, he told the disciples to distribute them. He's inviting them to help with this miracle. You know, the people ate and were satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Again, that's what the disciples did in this story. And about 4,000 people were present. And after he sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. So the I do piece. What are the disciples watching Jesus do? They're watching him initiate, take initiative. You see, Jesus, at the beginning of the story, there's like, man, these people have needs. Man, let's do something about these needs. That's something that the disciples would have saw in Jesus. They would have observed that. They would have saw his compassion. Man, I have compassion on these people. They would have seen that in Jesus, and they would have learned that they need to have compassion as well. They also saw that he met needs, and again, that he also cares about those needs. And of course, they were with him 3 days. They had plenty of time to preach, but he also didn't ignore their physical needs as well. Do we ignore the physical needs of the people around us? Of the guy went out right there. But what else did they learn? They also saw that he delegated, that they invited him into this process. That's something that they would have reflected back on and saw, man, you know what? He asked us to help with this. Those are the things that they would have seen Jesus do. Because it's important for us to keep identifying what Jesus is doing so that we know what to follow. Does that make sense? We have to constantly keep our eyes on Jesus, just as the disciples did. They would have observed all of those things. That's why they made sure to point them out here in this story. And they would have focused on Jesus so that they would have known what to follow. Because our nature is to rely on our own experience versus God's power. Isn't that our nature? We get so comfortable with, oh yeah, I did this in the past and I have this incredible story. And then we get so focused on ourselves and we lose focus on God. That's part of this Jesus does. We're watching him. We're constantly putting the focus back on God. Because we've all been in that. I think this comes out in our discipling times when we sit down and we're helping someone else grow. What do we use as the primary method of teaching? Do we use our own experience in something that happened in our past? Or do we go to Scripture and let the Word of God transform them? You know, that's what this process is talking about here. But again, AB spent a lot of time on this I do phase last week. So if you weren't here, please go online where he talked about just locating Jesus and how do we find him. He did a great job. So now we're going to move on to this, okay, the you help. What does this look like? So there are 4,000 people walking around and they're listening to Jesus, right? That's a lot of people. How many have had 4,000 people follow them before? Not me. I'm not that popular. Maybe we have some athletes, like we've had some people play for FAMU or FSU. They had probably more than that, observe them for one day as they ran and play football. But they didn't certainly, once they left the tunnel, like, man, where's Gene? I got to follow him. You know, Gene's a great guy, but he's not at the level of Jesus. Amen. So 4,000 people. I love you, Gene. But we have, so 4,000 people are following Jesus and they're exhausted. You know, man, they are hearing the word. They're hearing it from Jesus himself, and they're getting transformed. They are so into it that they just run out of food, and they don't even care. They're like, man, well, I'm just going to follow Jesus. I'm way far away from home, and I don't even care. And that's kind of the scene right now. But Jesus, he sees this, like, man, I want to take care of these people. Man, I have compassion. And Jesus is saying this, and then what happens? The disciples chime in. Again, they're watching Jesus. They're in his presence. They say, well, I mean, Jesus, we're in the middle of nowhere. The nearest village is miles away. We're not going to be able to buy. We can't get there. It's going to take too long. And then Jesus is like, well, how many pieces of bread do you have? Oh, we got about seven. He's like, all right, sweet. You give me a crouton, and I'm going to give you a Thanksgiving dinner, baby. That's what he's talking about. And then they're like, yo, Jesus, but a Thanksgiving dinner has, like, protein and turkey. He's like, what are those two rubbery things? Oh, those are fish. Yeah, let me get those too. That's where you're going to get your protein, all right? So they go, and they bring the stuff to Jesus, and then he sits all the people down. He's like, man, now, 4,000 people? Like, I could feed all of these people myself, but it'd probably be better if you guys. It'd happen a lot. It'd be faster. Like, I don't know if people would want to wait all that time. So then he gives it to the disciples, and then they go and they hand it out to the people. And then afterwards, he sends the disciples back out to pick up all the extra food. I mean, imagine what a visual that would have been. Just think about that for a second. Imagine you're a disciple and you have a little basket of food and you're just like, this was once seven pieces of bread and two fish, and I'm coming back with leftovers after he fed 4,000 people. What just happened? I have no idea. What was Jesus accomplishing? And I want to hear from you guys. What was Jesus accomplishing when he had the disciples help with this task? What all was he accomplishing when he had the disciples' help? Throw a hand up if you have any ideas. What was Jesus accomplishing? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He was giving them a purpose, for sure. He was giving them direction, absolutely. What else was he accomplishing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, he was giving them lots of experience. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. They became a part. It wasn't just Jesus. Yeah, Liam. Yeah, overcoming their own unbelief. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Man, there's so much that Jesus is accomplishing by having them help. He's accomplishing so much. I mean, he is reinforcing the idea that Christianity, our faith, it's done. Like, our faith and our actions work together. He's reinforcing this idea. He's giving them experience, like someone mentioned, in meeting the needs of others. It's like, man, this is important to me. He's teaching the disciples that. He's also creating a life-changing experience for them. You know, Mark was written, I mean, many years after this story happened, and they still remembered. They remembered this story. He's creating a memory of who God is. There is so much that is accomplished when we help God. There really is. But ultimately, God wants our help so that we can experience Christ. Man, that's such a big point. But so, because first, we need to understand that God has the changing power. Not us. God has the changing power, and he will always do the heavy lifting. And we need to get into our place. That's where we are positioning ourselves when we help God. We're putting God in his rightful place. God says, listen, I took care of your sin. Like, Jesus went on the cross. I took care of that. What I need you to do is I need you to help by looking at Matthew 5 and by cutting off that right hand that causes you to sin. I've made you holy, but I need you to help me in that process. When we do that, when we cut out sin in our lives and cut out things that tempt us, we are just helping God in that process. That is Him inviting us into that process. But this idea that God wants our help so that we can experience Christ, man, that is such a cool idea to me. Because one, it's God wants our help. He isn't begrudgingly like, man, okay, I know that I need to teach so-and-so this, so I'm going to give him an opportunity. It would have been a lot easier if I could just do it myself. Like, no, that's not God's heart. He desires you to be a part of the process. And I think that is so cool. But also, he doesn't want us to only listen. Like AB talked about last week, it starts with I do, you watch, we talk. He doesn't want us to only live at that stage. He wants us to move and not only hear, but also God wants you to partake in His journey, not your own. A lot of times we have that backwards, don't we? We try and fit God into our plans. Man, who can relate with me on that point? I am so guilty of this, where I'm like, God, I'm trying to do this, that, and the other. And He's like, hold up now. Hold on. Hold up a minute. You do realize this is my plan and not yours. He sends a brother, and I'm like, oh, man, you are so right. Sometimes we have that backwards because often our journeys are far off track from what God wants. We've all been there. We remember our plans before we were Christians. We were living all kinds of messed up lives. You know, Ashley, she just walked into Grace and her life before was a mess, as was mine. We all were. But because that was us trying to accomplish our own journey, God says, no, it's my journey. Follow me. You can just write this scripture down in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. It says, to the Jews who have believed them, if you hold to my teachings, then you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He says, I want you to hold to my teachings. I want you to do them. I want you to participate. Because if we don't participate, like when we do, we gain knowledge that we won't have just by watching. Well, we will gain knowledge that we won't have just by watching. So here's my question for you is, are you helping? Are you helping? That's really the question, isn't it? And we can ask this question in a lot of ways. Hey, bro, are you helping? Hey, are you helping? Hey, are you just helping? So some of us, so again, like I mentioned before, this is a process. And some of us are still in step one, but we're trying to help. But we have no idea what we're doing. God says, hold up, are you helping right now? Because right now you should just be watching. Does that make sense? But some of us, He says, hey, listen, are you helping? Meaning, we know exactly what we need to do. We've known it for a while, but we're sitting on the sidelines and not helping God out with the process. Maybe that's where you're at today. And Jesus is asking, are you helping? That invitation is there, but are you helping? Maybe another way He's asking is, hey, are you helping right now? Because you do realize I'm asking you to help, not do it all yourself. Maybe some of us are there where we're trying to do too much. Where we're like, man, I got the weight of the world on my shoulders. I need to go share my faith, and I need to study the Bible, and I need to teach someone about God, or I have this in my character, and I've been struggling it for a while, and I've memorized scriptures, I've talked with brothers about it, and we're doing all these things, and God's like, hold up. You do realize I'm only asking you to help, right? Don't get ahead of yourself. I'm going to put more on your plate, but right now you're not ready. I need you to help. This should be a relieving thought for many of us in this room, because I think a lot of us are trying to do too much. And we need to let God do the heavy lifting and let me just supplement with my own help. Let's take some of the pressure off of ourselves, because when Jesus calls us to help, he thinks that you're adequately prepared for what he's asking you to do. He's not going to ask you to do something that you're not ready for, which makes sense. We don't ask other people to help us when we don't think that they're prepared to help us. I'm not going to ask a three-year-old to help me make dinner. That's not helpful. They're just going to make a mess. They're probably going to hurt themselves or burn their hand on the stove or the oven. Like, no, get out of the kitchen. I don't need you here right now. Go play. That's your role, okay? Maybe you can watch what I'm doing in a couple years, and then I might ask you to help. But for right now, you just need to go over there. Anna was she was in Fayetteville when she was a teen, and the ushers were passing around the communion trays, and it gets to her, and she does like the cardinal sin of church. She like spills the communion tray. Like, oh no, that's like the one thing you don't want to happen. The ushers didn't ask her to help because dropping the communion tray is not helpful. Amen. And I cleared that story with Anna, so like I'm not in the doghouse there. But again, like I'm trying to draw this idea. God's not going to ask you to do something that you're not actually going to be helpful for. You know, I'm not going to ask a baby Christian to go preach a sermon because they're not really going to know what to do. Now, I want them to grow in their relationship with God before I ask them to do some of those things. When God thinks you're ready, he will transition you from observation to assistance. When God thinks that you're ready. And he will make that clear. He'll make it clear. You'll be reading a scripture one day and you're like, man, I see what God's doing. Wow, I think I need to change that. God's that way, but that's not how I am. That's an invitation where he's saying, hey, listen, help me out. Start to be more patient. Where maybe you're like reading your Bible like, man, my purity has been a mess. God wants me to be pure. Maybe I need to do something to help God sanctify me. Maybe I need to get open to a brother about my purity. Or maybe you're having a problem being patient at home. You're just sharp with your kids. But you read in the scriptures where love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud, rude, self-seeking. It keeps no records of wrongs. I mean, how about that in our marriage? I mean, it keeps no records of wrongs. Maybe God, if you feel a pull to change, that's God asking, hey, I want you to help. Help me sanctify you. But do we listen to those invitations? Because here's the thing. If we stop at the learning phase, like AB talked about last week, if we just stop with watching Jesus, we're not going to continue to develop as Christians. We're going to get stuck. There is a, hey, I want you to take the next step. Now we won't gain fresh experience if we just watch, and we'll also lose knowledge. It will. Check out this visual. So this is, it's a learning period. I learned about it in business school, and I believe it's like English, like Great Britain, so methods is not spelled wrong. This is a reliable source, amen. So, but it's methods of training and retention rates. So you see this pyramid here. So it says lecturing, when you lecture, you only retain about 5% of that knowledge, which makes me really sad because that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just lecturing, so you're only going to retain about 5% of what I say. Reading, 10% from what you read, which for me is probably more like 3% because my reading comprehension is terrible. But when you read, you only retain about 10% of that. Audiovisual, which is what this is, the 20%. This is going to be all that you actually remember of what I say. But you retain 20% of that knowledge. Demonstration, when you watch someone do something, you'll retain about 30% of that, of what they're trying to communicate. But discussion groups, check this out, discussion groups, 50%. And this is average. Of course, there are outliers, but 50% once you get into discussion groups. In simulations, aka practice by doing, 75% knowledge retention. And then teaching others, when you're at a level where you could teach, you'll remember about 80% of what you're saying. Which is good news for me because that's what I'm doing right now, amen. But what Jesus is inviting us, when he says help, he's inviting us into these two phases. So I want to get you out of the 5 and 10 or 30%, and I want to pull you in where you'll actually know more about me. Which is, again, reinforcing that John 8, 31 and 32. If you hold to my teachings, then you're really my disciples. Check this out. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We will learn more when we help God. Amen. And of course, we know this is true. Like, how many of us can recall all that information from our biology class, our freshman year of college? We can't remember any of that stuff. But our first job, we probably remember a lot of what we did because we did it every single day. We did it all the time. Many of us could probably go back and do that job, maybe with a 2 week to a month refresher, and be good to go. But when Jesus is asking us to help, he's asking us to experience him more, and then we'll know more about him. We'll actually be able to keep that knowledge in the future, which I think is incredible. So practically, when you have a grasp of what Jesus is doing and how he's asking you to live your life, you'll ask yourself, what would helping God look like in this area? That's a great question to ask yourself in your daily time with God. As you read a scripture, I'm like, man, what is God asking my help with here? Man, I believe that just doing that alone will transform your relationship with God, because then you'll start that process of being changed and being transformed. Amen. So that is the you help. That's what we're talking about here. Let's talk briefly about the we talk. In Mark 8, chapter starting in verse 14, it says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for the one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Now, I don't know what happened here, because I know that they just had a lot of bread. And I don't know if they just ate it all or lost it or gave it away for people to take home. But somehow they only have one loaf. And this is right after Jesus fed the 4,000, okay? So in verse 16 says, they discussed this with one another, what Jesus just said. And they said, man, it's because we have no bread. Like, oh, come on, disciples, are you serious? We read this scripture and we just cringe. And he says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? I just fed 4,000 people and you have one. Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, like I did a couple of chapters earlier, which we did not read, and how many basketfuls of pieces of bread did you pick up? 12, they replied. Okay, and when I broke the 7 loaves just 5 minutes ago for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of bread did you pick up?
7,
they answered. And then he said to them, do you still not understand? And of course, like, I took some artistic liberties there with reading the story, and Jesus would have been much more compassionate and gracious. He would have said all this in a loving way, but they talk. And as they're talking, it becomes clear that there's a lack of understanding as they talk. What if the disciples never said anything? They would have missed a learning opportunity. As they talked, it became clear, man, there's a faith issue. They still don't really get it. And then Jesus steps into this, hey, let me help you out. That's why it's so important for us to go and talk with Jesus. We need to go pray. It is so important. Afterwards, we have to get down on our knees when we experience anything with Christ and talk with him about it. Because how many times have you done something and you still just don't get it? Like, God, you called me to serve the poor, but while I was trying to serve the poor, I just had a bad heart the whole time. Like, I just really didn't want to be out there. It was cold, or in Florida, it was hot and it was humid. I was sweating the whole time. I didn't enjoy it. But talking is, God, man, I had such a bad heart today. I know that you're asking me to do this, but help me out. What is it that's lacking in my character? This deepens our relationship with God. And ultimately, because God will help you. God's going to put it on your heart. When you go to God in prayer, amazing things happen. It really does. And we all have our own stories of times where we pray, and then God just came out of nowhere and did something awesome. But if we don't talk about things that we're growing in, we're not inviting him into that process. This is so important. We can't overlook the we talk phase. Now, I want to share personally an example from my own life. Friday was not a great day for your boy, okay? It was kind of rough. On Wednesday, AB and I went to see Paul, the Apostle of Christ, which was a great movie. And something that I walked away from was like, man, the disciples, I mean, they didn't have Bibles. They didn't have all that stuff. But so most of their teaching and knowledge would have been from stories that they heard from eyewitnesses. Or from secondary sources, so they just knew the stories about Jesus, but it forced them to God was in every aspect of their life. He wasn't just in I read about him in the morning and then I move on. That it was all the way through life. So that convicted me, and I saw that, and I was like, man, there's so often I just leave God in the morning and I don't bring him all throughout my day. So I've been working on this for a couple of days, and then. But then I have a lot of stuff going on because I did a Bible talk on Thursday for the campus, had a devotional on Friday that I was prepping for the campus, and I'm preaching today, which a lot of prep for the church, which I love doing. And then I'm also in a wedding on the 21st, and I'm the best man in the wedding. So I have all the preparations that I'm making, what are we going to do? Okay, we want to see Infinity Wars, which I'm super excited for. It's going to be an awesome movie. And then, we want to do Midnight Bowling. That'll be fun. We're not going to get it drunk because we're Christians. Amen. It's going to be righteous. It's going to be different. It's going to be holy. So I'm doing all this. And then I'm texting a couple of buddies about this bachelor party, and I have some friends from South Carolina coming down because the wedding's in Texas, which is a 12 and a half hour drive. Again, pray for your boy that he keeps me awake. So we're doing this together, but I look up Infinity Wars and it doesn't come out until the 26th, and the wedding's on the 21st. But this one guy is just stuck on like, hey, we go Infinity Wars, we need to get tickets now because a lot of the theaters, the seats are full because like the AMC and are super nice, we need to buy them now. But I'm like, hey bro, we can't see Infinity Wars because it comes out the 27th, not next weekend. But he still keeps talking about it. And I'm like, bro, like, what are you doing? And I'm gonna read the text message that I sent him. Just to get open here. So this story is not heading in a good direction. Hold on, where is it here? Let's go. I said, Perry, that's his brother's name. Perry, let me break this down for you. It's not coming out next weekend. We won't be able to see it while we are in Texas. The wedding is April 21st, and the movie doesn't come out until April 27th. You will be in Columbia laughing, crying face. Because I was laughing, thinking this dude just doesn't get it. And the groom is on this text message. He says, bro, the wedding's April 27th. I'm like, no! I felt like such a dummy. It was so bad. I'm the best man in this wedding, and I have the date of the wedding wrong. Talk about embarrassing. But check this out. It gets worse. We have our end of year campus party scheduled for the 27th. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not even going to be here anymore. So I text our graduates. I'm like, hey, when else are we free? And at the same time, I have all this other stuff going on. And I'm like, oh God, I am so stressed and overwhelmed right now. It is ridiculous. So I'm praying. And then also I got asked last minute to help out with this move. And I was trying to find people, so that was on my mind too. And then so I'm getting with Marcel at 4 o'clock, and all throughout the day I'm just praying, oh my God, help out your boy. I don't know what's happening right now. So I get with Marcel and I say, hey bro, we need to just go to St. Louis Park and I just need to pray because my heart is just not about it right now. And we talk for a little bit, and then we get out there and we pray, and so I was like, oh, okay, the sky is not falling. It's really not. It's going to be fine. And Marcel was great, and I shared some other things with him as well. But again, throughout that whole process, the one thing that I did right, there's a lot of things I was doing wrong there, but the one thing that I did right was I was like, God, I'm trying to involve you more in my life in every aspect. And right now, I know you said to cast all my anxieties onto you, and so I'm doing that because I'm anxious. I was talking it out with God. I was reinforcing God is in everything. And I guarantee I'm not going to forget the things that I've learned this past couple days. Amen. I'm going to remember that story. One, because it's embarrassing. But at the same time, I talked it out with God, but God came through. Everything's totally fine. But it's because I talked with God. Debriefing is where so much knowledge retention happens. But I think this is where we will miss out if we are not intentional. We need to intentionally go with God and talk it out with him. We need to go out of our way and do that. Even if things went great, let's still talk it out with God. God, that was such a victory. Thank you for teaching me. Man, God, can you give me other opportunities or put more on my plate because I think that I'm ready. But so often we miss out. God wants us to go and to debrief with him because it's funny how repeatedly we witness God's power, but ultimately we still come back around into doubt. Into fear. That's just Satan, because Satan is real too and he works all those things, but us talking with God centers us back on him and then we can continually learn. So again, as we wrap up here, like don't try and take on too much with your relationship with God. Maybe God's just asking you to help right now. Or maybe you're doing nothing and you need to get out there and you need to start helping. But also don't be naive and think that you can continually do nothing and think that God's going to move in your life. We can't be naive and think that. Ultimately, he will eventually ask us to help in the mission. So once we have a firm grasp on what God is doing and what he wants our help with, let's go out there and experience Christ in a new way. In a few moments, we're going to take communion together. The usher's going to come out, and I'm going to say a prayer. But God is, because of what Jesus did, we are able to help. Jesus and God is the ultimate helper because we are absolutely nothing without him. So as we take communion today, let's remember, listen, God is doing the heavy lifting. God has taken care of all our sins and that is his place and we need to get in ours. So let's remember what Jesus did for us this morning as we go to God in prayer, amen. Father God, thank you so much for this day, Lord. God, thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for Jesus. We are so unworthy of the life that you give us. We are so unworthy, but you gave it to us freely. God, you sent your son to die on the cross. I thank you for his body that was beaten and broken for my sin and for our sin. He didn't have to do that, and the blood that was poured out that forgives our sins, God. Lord, we come to you this morning on our hands and on our knees just out of complete gratitude for what you've done in our lives. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
Is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, word of God speak. would you pour down like rain, washing my